They said, oh my goodness, it's that news show. They said,
yeah, where is it?
They said, don't forget what you did, what you had. You got a couple of guests on the show and a couple of people started stressing out.
Life's over.
But there was no reason for it because the thing was we always want to have guests. It didn't mean it was a complete transition. There's plenty of things to talk about. But I guess since we also took a break for like a week, then it was like these two guests and then a break and people were like, what exactly is going on? Because on a positive side of it, I got the feeling that I actually weirdly felt appreciated, which is strange on the internet, because it was a lot of people, it was inside of complaining. They were saying, oh, I want to make sure that this show exists the way that it was.
Of course.
And then I was able to say, oh, maybe that show was pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You know, like I was going to bed at night or whatever, you know, put the hands behind your head. You're like, oh, maybe that show's all right.
Yeah, we can't burn it to the ground.
Maybe Willie Doo's on to something over there.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
But the fact of the matter was, I do like the idea of having guests. I had a lot of fun having those conversations, and I have many plans to continue to do that, but it's going to be mixed in, and we're going to have plenty of news to keep you up to date, to keep you posted, to keep you in the loop, because there's so much stuff happening in the world, and it's hard out here. And it helps to talk about it, at least for me.
Yes.
And for some people, it appears. So that's cool. Anyway, today Will has picked the stories. DJ Willie Doo goes beyond the music. Him and I, our feed is very similar as far as the news is concerned. And so our formula here, we're going to do a little format. It's not going to be goofy, all right? It's not going to be just random clips. There might be a tiny bit of that. But Willie Doo got his executive suit on right now.
Yeah, it's serious time.
He knows the stories that matter and the stuff that matters. And I know this has been like a long intro preamble, but we've been gone for like over a week. Uh-huh. And so anyway, we're going to touch on it. We're going to get to the bottom of it. We will leave no stone unturned. So hit me with it, Will. What do we got first?
All right.
iPhone 14 models may feature 120 hertz ProMotion displays. iPhone 14. All iPhone 14. We're talking about the iPhone 14.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying the 13 will have 120 hertz, but for the Pro and Pro Max.
I feel like you read this article.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I did some research. Preparation.
You know?
And I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I see the 120 hertz will not be across the board for 13, but by 2022, it's a wrap. It's 120 hertz all day, every day. Everything is ProMotion.
Yeah.
Apple always got the fancy marketing term for their version of it. They can't just say 120. They can't say, we got 120. They got to say, we got ProMotion.
Mm-hmm.
Because we make products for pros.
I guess 120 hertz is good enough, right?
120 hertz is great.
Because there's some 240 hertz phones, right?
Yeah, I guess. Is there 240 out? There's definitely.
Or 144.
There's lots of 144 out there.
I think
one of them pushed to 160, but it was kind of like hidden inside the menu. I'm trying to remember the last gaming phone I did that was over 144, but anything 120 and above. Okay, so there was a 160 hertz display mode, yeah.
The ROG 3.
Yeah, that was a little while ago, actually. Look at that, July 27, 2020. So maybe we're crazy. Do highest refresh and let's get to the bottom of it. Oh
yeah.
The R6, it's not out yet. That's a rumor, right? R6, 240 hertz and a 1-inch camera. Or is that out? That's a cool phone, man, by the way.
We should get that.
This Sharp Aquos R6. Man, I remember the Aquos brand name from when Sharp was one of the first doing the thin panel TVs. And you actually wanted an Aquos. Okay, so the R6, I see an XDA hands-on from 6 days ago. This is a very interesting phone beyond that display that you just mentioned. I mean, the 1-inch sensor on a smartphone is going to be really cool to experiment with. But anyway, point being on the Apple front that they're going to move in that direction anyways. And it's never it's always the case with the Apple rumors, or at least it has been the progression, that with each new model that gets released, the rumors and the rumor mill and the interest in rumors keeps getting mapped further and further out. Like Ming Chi.
Yeah, 2030 iPhone.
It seems possible that you can do those rumors now.
Uh-huh.
People, and some get upset. They're like, man, why are you reaching on that? Some get upset with it. But listen, if there's a market for it, if people are interested, then it's going to exist.
Yeah, and people can dream. Like you over here, it says the iPhone might have a hole punch design.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I would like to have a... I would like to imagine that the iPhone can switch to a hole punch one day. You know?
You like to dream.
I do.
You have a dream.
Yeah.
That one day.
John Lennon, imagine. That's my...
Oh, okay. You brought John Lennon. See, I thought you were going with the I have a dream speech, but you're just going... You've got a lot of different inspirations here. That's fine. That's fair.
Yeah.
You are free to dream. Quo says the new design will debut in the high-end models at a minimum, possibly meaning the lower-end devices could retain some notch-based design. So I don't know what Apple fans are going to think about that. If that is actually true, the punch hole setup, you're going to lose some of those components for face unlock unless they hide them underneath, mm-hmm. like maybe some components are underneath the display and the camera's over there in the top corner. I am fine with it. Like I say, the more display, the better for the most part in most of my experiences, but I do appreciate the security of all those extra devices mm-hmm. inside of Apple's current face unlock. You let me know down in the comments, iPhone users, are you sick of this notch conversation or do you care? And are you ready to get rid of it and move to a punch hole punch like the rest of the world?
Mm-hmm.
You let me know how much that matters to you. Today's sponsor, ExpressVPN. Right there on the website, the VPN that just works. Number one trusted name in VPN. I use a VPN. I use ExpressVPN. Hmm. And mostly in my case, I'm trying to unlock that content. I'll tell you what.
Of course.
Sometimes I just want to watch a show. Sometimes I need to find a show.
Uh-huh.
And I'm bouncing around some streaming service like, we can't get it to you in your region. Trapped over here in Canada. You know? And then ExpressVPN comes in. I toggle that thing. Any device. Doesn't matter.
One button.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
iOS, Android, could be on your laptop, desktop, Windows, Linux, Mac. It doesn't matter. It works on everything. You can even get it working on your Apple TV. You can get it installed on your router so that all your traffic is moving through ExpressVPN. Now, it's not just about unlocking content. Obviously, there's a privacy component as well
mm-hmm.
because you may have some people in there sniffing around what you're up to on that home connection there, Will.
Yeah.
Or that mobile connection. You might have somebody in there. You don't want that.
They get in deep.
And in the past, you get a lot of people goofing around with a VPN because they know they need one. They know it's about time. But then they're worried about things like speed. They're like, can I really do all my streaming and stuff? Actually, ExpressVPN is now using something called Lightway, a new VPN protocol that they engineered to make users' speeds faster than ever. So you don't have to worry about all that streaming with the HD and all that.
Huh.
Zero buffering. It's easy to use. No technical skills are needed. You just fire up the app. You tap one button, as you said, to connect, and that's a wrap. It's all kinds of options for connections as well, whatever region you want to be in. You could defeat ISP throttling. You can use up to 5 devices simultaneously, and it is unlimited bandwidth as well. So you pick whichever region you need to connect to unlock your content, or if you just want something nearby so that you have privacy online, you're moving all your traffic through the VPN instead of straight to your own private connection. So protect yourself with the VPN that I use and trust. That's real. I use ExpressVPN. Use my link, expressvpn.com/loulater today and get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/loulater. Once again, expressvpn.com/loulater to learn more. You can also click the link down in the description. Use that link specifically because you will get 3 extra months free. Thank you to ExpressVPN. Our next sponsor is HelloFresh. Now, you guys know I've been talking about HelloFresh because I eat HelloFresh. And I love to catch a healthy meal here and there. And I can't be just doing takeout all the time. I feel guilty about that.
Mm-hmm. You should.
There's something about when you put together and you look at the ingredients and you've contributed something.
Oh, yeah.
And it really does feel and taste like a home-cooked meal. I'm telling you right now.
You feel good inside.
You got vegetables involved. The food groups are satisfied. It could be a 20-minute meal. It could be the Kraft burger that you're looking at right there. It's quite a variety. Like, here's the current menu. And you don't have to get everything. So you have your own taste buds to satisfy. You can go in there and hand pick whether it's the time that's important to you. You see, there was one that was a 15-minute meal. Or it was the saucy pineapple chipotle pork sandwich. It's a 15-minute. That easy prep might be what you prioritize for. Or you might be a little bit more ambitious. And you might move yourself up to a pork katsu that's a 35-minute.
Delicious.
It's still not a lot of time for a meal like that.
Right.
Because it's all portioned out the way that you need it. It arrives so you can't screw it up. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of variety. Tuscan pork stuffed peppers, salsa verde enchiladas. And you know every time we do this, we get a little hungry ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
You can try HelloFresh's quick and easy meals, 15 to 20-minute dinners, breakfast on the go, and more options that are perfect for your busy lifestyle. I know you're busy as well, Will.
Mm-hmm.
They offer 27 plus recipes to choose from each week, from vegetarian meals and calorie smart choices all the way to Kraft burgers and extra special gourmet options. There's something for everyone to enjoy with recipes designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Here's a key factor. Oftentimes you can go to the grocery store, you screw it up. You got the wrong ratio of ingredients. You got stuff you don't end up using. It can be wasteful. This, everything is portioned out and it always gets eaten. I have people in my house. We arrange for the right amount of people and it's always, they nail it on the portion.
Mm-hmm.
So you're being very efficient and you're not being wasteful. That's my take as well on HelloFresh. Take yourself over to HelloFresh.com/LouLater12 and use the code LouLater12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/LouLater12 and use the code LouLater12 for 12 free meals. It's a lot of free food right there. 12 free meals. You can click the link in the description if that's easier for you as well. Just don't forget the code LouLater12 for those 12 free meals, including free shipping. Thank you to HelloFresh. More iPhone-related news. iPhone 13 Pro case points to camera bump size. Oh.
Huge bump size.
Huge bump. Well, we had the model kicking around, and I don't think it was that big, was it? Where did I put that model?
Is it over there on your desk there?
She over there? Or right what? Over there. Okay, let me grab it real quick. You, Willie, do talk to the people.
Well, yeah, these are some images of clear cases that Wolf, I guess it's fitting the iPhone 12. And the bump is massive.
Oh, yeah.
Or like the print.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's huge. Look.
Okay, so that kind of maps pretty much.
I'm not surprised one bit that if the cases start to emerge and they're likely going to be built based on this formula here, which we did the video on, obviously. Then you're going to see cases, all the case companies are going to pop up with these bigger cutouts to accommodate. I mean, this is a huge camera bump.
Does that bother you, though?
The enormous camera bump? No. No, I don't care anymore.
It looks fine.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going the other way with
no,
it.
No. I'd stick with it.
I felt that you were going the other way.
It's nice.
No, listen, man. It's already out of hand. Like, what is the difference at this point? You just saw the Sharp phone with the 1-inch sensor on it. Like, what is the difference at this point? I get it. It's bigger. But you're already big. You're already big. I don't know. I mean, I suppose if I'm going to see it, I'm going to want to see some performance enhancements to go with it, ideally.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can justify it in some way. But it's hard to differentiate and to send a strong signal to your customer base that you have something new. And to have it where your customer base can hold up the next generation without completely overhauling the thing and send a signal to the world that, hey, I got the latest thing. And if you can back it up with some sort of enhancements, like say, for example, the sensor size gets bigger here as well, then I'm going to hear that noise. Mm-hmm. I'm going to listen to that noise. So that's my take on it. But yeah, it just means we're getting closer and there are more companies placing their bets and preparing themselves in advance for what looks like the likely design for the next gen iPhone. But if you want more detail on this model that I'm holding up, you can go watch the video.
When is it too ridiculous? The camera bump and the size.
Man, so long as they keep doing it gradually, you know what I mean? I feel sure. Like people are going to forget. It's like I saw somebody holding the original iPhone. I can't remember. I was watching a video yesterday. Okay. Do you know much about fireworks?
They go boom.
Yeah, I know. That's where I was at. And then, of course, it was a big firework time going on.
Sure, yeah.
And I was like, you know,
you decide to educate yourself?
I'm kind of curious about these fireworks situation. Because there was a mishap. That goaltender from the NHL, he died over the weekend because there was a fireworks mishap. And it was a mortar-style firework that actually hit him in the chest. He was in the hot tub. Crazy, crazy story. But it got me interested. I was like, man, you get some people handling fireworks not very carefully. Like, whatever.
And especially you're having a good time.
Alcohol might be involved. And you just, whatever. I mean, you start thinking about it and you're like, man, those things, that's serious explosives right there. Mm-hmm. And so I start looking into it. And I find channels dedicated to fireworks, techniques for making fireworks, traditional methods of building fireworks. Like, so I found this video. It was in the Italian countryside near Napoli, where they're making it in the traditional way that they always have in Italy, these fireworks. Why am I on this topic? Remind me why I'm on this topic. I'm going
to
connect it.
You decide to educate yourself.
No. Before that, how did I get to the fireworks? Come on, Will. There must have been a reason. Are we really that dead? There was a reason.
The camera hump, camera size doesn't bother you.
Go on. This is music to my ears right here. You're not going to be able to do it. It was too crazy. I would have had to pull it in.
I remember it's a segue.
I was going to reel it in, though. There was a connection point, but it's not happening right now. Either way, it was...
Might as well finish your story. Yeah, we might get back to it.
It was fantastic content. It was this craftsman, essentially, that was building these fireworks by hand in a traditional manner. Ah! Got it! And it was old footage. And the guy who was filming it was using an iPhone 4. And I was talking about how everything feels normal at a point once, if it has progressed at a moderate enough pace, that you haven't noticed it as much. Because you were asking about the camera hump. So, like, people would say, first off, this phone is enormous. Like, never mind the camera portion. Mm. You look at the scale of the Pro Max currently, and you're like, that's a big phone. But if you have a reference point of an iPhone 4, or let alone an original iPhone, which I saw, it looks almost hilarious how small it is. Mm-hmm. But it scaled up over time that you hardly noticed what was happening.
Yes.
Until next thing you know, you had a plate in your pocket. I mean, I don't carry this phone for that reason. By the way, this is even bigger. This is the mock-up of the upcoming 13, which is even larger to hold. But yeah, so the point I was trying to get to was, if a thing happens gradually and is adopted gradually, then it feels normal, even though your past self would have never accepted it, including these enormous camera homes. Hmm.
I'm glad we figured that out.
Yeah, it took me a weird roundabout way. Let me know if anybody finds the video. I would tell Will what it was called, but like, you can look it up. It's captivating stuff. I was even watching it with my youngster, little Will, and he was just enthralled, even though this was, you know, you might consider this boring content for that age group. He was like, man, this is so calming and interesting. And it's all paper. They use all kinds of paper folding techniques for these old school fireworks. Anyway, obviously I'm carried away right now. I'll move to the next story. Rimac takes over Bugatti from VW in powerhouse electric supercar deal.
Have you heard about this?
Yeah. No, I have not. I mean, I know about Rimac. I knew they were involved with VW. But Rimac gets to take over Bugatti? The Croatian EV company will take a controlling interest in the 112-year-old French sports car brand. Controlling interest. That's their deal now.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
So you guess what's going to happen, right?
Yeah. You got to
Rimac.
Yeah,
EVs,
their recent car is already stupid zone.
Under 2 seconds, 60.
It's beating everything.
Yeah.
It's beating all the numbers. Now, I don't know about top speed, but once you start talking about top speed, you get into the Bugatti territory. You combine those two things, the quickness and the top speed and the luxury and the heritage. And
well, the Chiron was the second fastest, right? And then, yeah, you have this.
Electric Bugatti is just a scary proposition, or maybe some sort of hybrid situation. I don't know what the plans are. Scroll down a little bit more. Croatian electric supercar startup Rimac announced it was taking over Bugatti from Volkswagen to form a new company called Bugatti Rimac. But wait a second. Isn't Volkswagen invested in Rimac? Bugatti Rimac will be led by... Is that name Mate or Mate? Mate Rimac, who founded the company in 2009 in a garage as a one-man operation. The Nevera, that's their recent car, is a quad-motor, 1,914 horsepower electric absurdity.
Fun.
With a top speed of 258 miles per hour. So Rimac gets a controlling stake, 55% in Bugatti. And, here we go. VW's Porsche brand will own the remaining shares in Bugatti. Even though Porsche owns some stock in Rimac, its total ownership will not give it controlling interest in Bugatti. Holy complications! Mm-hmm. Porsche has part of Rimac, but not enough of Rimac that Rimac's controlling stake in Bugatti would be necessarily influenced by Porsche. Though the relationship could have some kind of effect.
Uh-huh.
Crazy times. Exciting stuff,
uh-huh.
I would say. I don't know. Maybe some Bugatti fans would be upset that they really like the gasoline heritage. They want that big rumbling and bumbling.
Mm-hmm.
Brr, brr. And Rimac might not want to do so much of that. Or maybe they'll protect some certain aspect of that. But either way, it is certainly catapulting Bugatti into the modern times with that kind of relationship.
Very cool.
Are you happy or upset, Will?
I'm curious to see Bugatti EV for sure.
Let's go. Okay. Yeah,
let's do it.
Curious. It's fair. Apple defeats attempt by TikTok and others to bypass app tracking transparency in China. Okay. So I know that there's certain concessions that Apple makes in China, but I suppose this goes above and beyond that. Chinese tech giants believed Apple wouldn't dare to block popular apps like TikTok and QQ, but Apple apparently called their bluff. Apple allows developers to anonymously track users using a system known as Apple's Identifier for Advertisers, IDFA, allowing advertisers to track the same person saw an ad for their product within a particular app and subsequently visited their website. Apple designed IDFA to be a privacy-protecting tool because it doesn't reveal the actual identity of a user, only a unique code assigned to them. However, the company subsequently decided it should go further and let customers choose whether or not they're tracked. Okay, so we know this feature.
Mm-hmm.
This is your ability to completely shroud your identifier so that advertisers can't extract your information without your permission.
Yeah.
Now, since that feature became available, not many people have opted into it. I think reports suggest that it's like 12% of users.
Right.
But somewhere 10, 12% of users that have decided to click allow for the try. I'm not surprised by that. You give people a prompt like this.
Yes.
And they're going to say, I'm good. No, thank you. Ask app not to track.
It's weird how all of these apps are still kind of digging into like, hey, can you just nudge, a little bit of Apple?
Just a little bit of your data.
Uh-huh.
I don't need all your data.
Yeah.
Just Give me a little taste. I'm starving out here.
And Apple has to say, no, we can't do that over and over again.
Chinese tech giants had hoped to avoid this by switching instead to CAID, the Chinese advertising ID. Apple's rules forbid this type of workaround. Wow. Well, see, so this is a really interesting one in China because those, we remember the story of Apple having to move some certain servers into China domestically so that if the government were to request some information, then they would be able to get that. But I guess that doesn't extend to these private companies, the likes of TikTok and so forth, that have their own set of rules. And it appears here that Apple is saying, hey, we're banning the CAID workaround from being used. And customers, even in those regions, are going to have the choice to turn off the tracking by the looks of it, based on this.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's a win for the users in that case.
Mm-hmm.
We got some OnePlus news next. OnePlus may be thinking about entering the tablet market. Man, you notice this about OnePlus. OnePlus is just everywhere now. It's just, it's
a household name.
We make everything. Like, yeah. Never mind one smartphone a year. Never mind flagship killer. And we're going to put all our energy and effort into that.
But they're with Oppo now. You know, they have, I guess, more opportunities to branch out.
Look, man, maybe it's just the progression of the brand in general.
Sure.
Maybe this is how things go. There's been so many examples of this in the past where you start in one particular product category and you expand into others, and the relationship that customers have with the brand, it changes along the way too. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you even think about how many things Samsung makes? You know what I mean? It's everything.
Yeah. More, definitely a lot more in Korea. Like, they have everything there.
Everything. And but even here, you got your appliances and your smartphone coming from the same company. Uh-huh. Your TV, your phone, your microwave, your fridge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do they make air conditioners? I don't know. Like, it's pretty wild. LG is kind of similar to that, yes. Even though they just exited the smartphone market and focus on the other things. But so maybe this is part of the progression of what happens, is that you have to diversify in order to continue your growth. And that appears to be what's going on here. First, they did it in smartphones by making whole new lineup of smartphones, Nord branding, and then
TVs.
Then TVs as well.
Watches.
In certain markets.
Or a watch.
Yeah. And then they tightened their relationship with Oppo publicly and said, hey, we're partners here. We're shaking hands. We're the same thing, same deal. Well, in fact, Pete, the CEO, just said, like, I'm running both.
Yeah.
We're going to share resources. We're going to put out more stuff. And so this is not surprising to me that they could do a OnePlus Pad. It's one product they don't have, a tablet. And if they approach it the right way, if they approach it from a value perspective, it could be interesting. Though I also happen to know that the tablet marketplace is a tough one.
It's much needed, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, I think Samsung makes a good tablet, but there needs to be more competition.
Yeah, it's not a lot of options.
Yeah. I think OnePlus can do it.
But what's interesting about it is once you get out of Apple's ecosystem, you get into the realm of like Microsoft Surface products, let's say, or two-in-one devices that are kind of a tablet. They have Windows, but then they can become a laptop too. And that's where the weird overlap happens with Android tablets.
Yeah, it's not really a consuming device. It's more productivity as well.
Well, and then you had Google. They tried to do it, right? They had the Pixel Slate thing. Yes. And then they were like, maybe we just focus on Chromebooks. And so it just has been a complicated territory, it seems, because unlike on the Apple side where they will draw the boundaries, they'll be like, your phone ends here, your iPad ends here, and then your laptop. Like they are obviously masters at creating uses exclusive to each format. Whereas even Google themselves, I mean, they're responsible for Android and they were kind of struggling with tablets. So it isn't going to be the easiest thing in the world. It will have to be a budget play. But actually, it says in the article here that, they've been focusing big time on budget in their smartphone release.
Sure.
So I presume they would do the same here. They did that with headphones as well. And the watch, they went after the lower price point.
Mm-hmm.
They do that here. They could see success, particularly in some markets where they're strong. And if they come with the right price, they they might see some success.
The OnePlus Pad.
Yeah, well, that's a tough one. What?
That's a tough sell.
I don't know. I never liked anything Pad, like even iPad. I remember when iPad came out. I was never. I actually remember Microsoft originally was showing off the dual screen thing called the Courier. I thought that was a cool name. But,
oh, okay, yeah.
But actually, it's kind of long. I don't know. It's a hard thing to name. I never liked the word Pad.
I hear you.
But it's not like I can give you a better example at the moment. We have some nothing news. I saw this story, actually, so I'm a little bit familiar with it. Nothing, of course, got these upcoming earbuds, and we have very limited information about them publicly at the moment, other than we have these transparent images that have been shared, these kind of sneak teaser-type pics. It's been very shrouded in mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And then this piece of information comes out today because I was very curious about this myself. Like, who and what are you targeting? I realize this is the first product for nothing, but are you trying to go after the big dogs? Like, are you trying to go after the likes of Apple and Samsung and those price points that are associated with their products? Like, I guess AirPods start at like 150 and then go all the way up for the Pro model, 249. It's such a competitive marketplace. So I was really curious where you're going to line up. Mm-hmm. And now we have this piece of information. I guess it comes directly from Carl that it's going to retail for $99. And this news broke on TechCrunch. Now, I think that's a heck of a price point. It's a real healthy, tried and true type of price point. Well, you come in at 99, two digits. Everyone knows about the 99.
Yeah. It's a nice, little package.
Let's see what else he says. It's going to have leading features like noise cancellation and great build quality. That's what we told TechCrunch. Because we're primarily going to be focused on online sales channels, we're going to be able to make it, I wouldn't say affordable, but quite a fair price to consumers.
It is quite fair.
Yeah. I don't know why he wouldn't say affordable. I guess it depends on the market, whether like the perception and affordability, but it is.
It's also very competitive.
It's just, let's say it's less than the big name players.
Yes.
Let's say that. It's a much more costly design to realize than a standard non-transparent design. I think it's going to be a good price at $99, 99 euros, and 99 pounds. Feature-wise, it's similar to the AirPods Pro, but the AirPods Pro is $249. Okay, so he is making the comparison to the AirPods Pro. Mm. He is saying that piece.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have to try them out to see if that's the case. If it is the case, if they are close at all and at a $99 price point, then you have a winner.
Yeah.
And time will tell if that's the case, but it is an interesting tidbit. The other interesting part here is releasing the price in an interview prior to the event is kind of a unique move. I don't know what the incentive is there other than maybe to prime people to say, hey, hold off on purchasing those wireless earbuds because we got something we want to show you at a price we think you're going to like.
Yeah.
And then they tell you the price so that you don't do the other thing. Maybe that's the incentive. But I was thinking, hey, don't you normally save the price to the very end of the event?
Exactly.
Wow, no.
That's a surprise.
Wow, no. This whole thing about nothing and this whole thing about the brand has been very unorthodox. It's been very unusual. It's been very mysterious. It's had the integration and involvement with Teenage Engineering. You got the countdown over here. We got to wait and see.
Yeah.
We got to wait
and see. This is a font. Cool.
It's a dot matrix style font. It's part of the theme.
Right.
And it's also got the correlation to Teenage Engineering. There's a whole dot situation with them as well.
Cool. Last one.
Nintendo confirms no new CPU or increased RAM in the OLED Switch. The OLED Switch.
Yes.
Okay. So I saw a little bit of chatter on social media as far as this new Switch. I think I saw Austin saying they could have come up with a better name. They're just calling it Nintendo Switch OLED model.
Well, that's kind of what it is. There's not many upgrades to it, unfortunately.
So,
but OLED is definitely much needed.
So you're okay with the name? It's a very Nintendo thing to do. You just say Nintendo Switch OLED model.
Is it a pro, though?
Well,
without the guts of, you know, a new processor.
So break it down for me. We got nothing else new on here?
So the only thing that's new is the OLED screen.
Yes, I like OLED
the
screens.
The smaller bezels.
Okay.
There's a smaller bezel. And then...
a bigger screen, too. I just saw 7 inches instead of 6.2.
Yes. Yeah. So they shrunk the bezels. And then there's going to be the... was it the mounting? Not the mounting. The switch that kind of opens up so you can display it on the table.
The dock?
The dock.
Okay.
So no, not the dock.
Not the dock.
So it opens up the and kickstand. Then you can... Yeah, the kickstand.
Oh, it's a new kickstand. Yes. It's a way better kickstand.
So you can kind of prop it down.
Yes.
To a certain angle.
Oh, that is a huge improvement, man. That other little kickstand was terrifying.
Exactly, yeah.
On the last one.
Yeah.
So that's a huge improvement. More angles as well. They say it's got enhanced audio. Yeah, call it a pro. Get out of my face. Call it a pro.
A pro?
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. But it is hard for a customer to feel excited about buying the Nintendo Switch OLED model. As opposed to something that feels like an advancement outside of one singular feature. But I don't really care. You can convince me either way. I don't care that much. Sometimes I like the understated aspect of Nintendo's approach to things. That's like, hey, that's what it is. It's what we're calling it. Go out and get it. It's also been a tremendously successful console. So maybe it doesn't need any kind of fancy marketing stuff and it can just call it the OLED model. And then the other part is they want to keep selling the regular Switch and the Switch Lite. So maybe if they marketed it as something so different, then they could have a problem selling the inventory of the other ones or making it feel like a uniform ecosystem. So what happened with the 4K thing? There was a rumor that it was going to be able to output 4K through the dock.
Yeah, there was a lot of expectations for this new model. And it was supposed to be for E3, but then the Pro model didn't happen.
So you're telling me it's no 4K on the dock? 4K. But, wow, that's a big...
See, yeah, you know?
Well, I mean, that's a bit of a problem, I guess. You don't put the... Yeah.
And it's coming out, I guess, kind of late.
October 8th. It'll be $350.
I mean, in the fall, which makes sense.
Yeah, it is an interesting product because it's so different than the Play that you're getting from Sony and the Play that you're getting from Microsoft. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, look, we're going to give you next-gen gaming. We're going to give you 4K gaming, at least at 60 frames for now. And that was the priority, a box that sits beside your TV, and that's the end of it. Well, sure. And then some game streaming focus as well for mobile gaming. They're like, you can play Xbox games, like the xCloud stuff, on mobile, and don't worry about a dedicated contraption to do such a thing. Now, Nintendo has the alternative play. They say, no, you're going to have this really cool piece of hardware with Joy-Con that pop off and you can take it, just quickly take the game you're already playing onto the couch and then back to the TV. Like, they got this different play.
Sure.
They got this different set of rules, kind of. But I think people were hoping for that home run. That, like, can I also say that I'm capable of this next-gen gaming?
Yeah.
You want to call it that?
We're definitely spoiled. And we want more.
Absolutely.
You know?
But this is still a cool improvement. I love OLED, so that's nice. Kickstand improvement, better audio. I'm always paying attention to that.
Yeah.
Probably some new Zelda stuff, so listen.
Yeah, they're going to launch a new Metroid game as well.
Cool.
A side-scroller, old school, which is nice.
There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, what can we do? What can we say? I'm sure that they considered their compromises. I'm sure they looked at their cost. I'm sure they said, hey, where do we want to be price-wise and how can we deliver? Okay, we're targeting $350. Here's what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you look at it from that standpoint, what's your cheapest PlayStation 5? You're $399, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's what you need to get to your 4K. So you make your choices in life, don't you?
For sure, yeah.
And I want to know what your choice is. If you have around $400 to spend for gaming hardware, and you only have two options. You have this new Nintendo Switch in brackets OLED model or the digital version of the PlayStation 5 for $50 more. Which one do you take and why? Let me know down in the comments. Thank you very much, Willie Doo, for pulling it all together, by the way.
All right.
Because the people, they were very concerned. And now the concern can be put to rest because the news will always be here. And as long as there's news, we'll be here too.